Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
There we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. Great to be with you again for today's show. Pleased to welcome back friend of the show, John Kramer of the Lego Church Project. John, how you been, man? Long time no see.
I'm not doing too bad. Sitting back and enjoying life.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about your newest season, season 22. Well, first and foremost, congratulations on that. That's a big milestone.
That is a milestone. To be able to be sitting here talking about this, it's an amazing thing for me.
And so season 22 during a pandemic, and I know it's been interesting to say the least. Can you kind of walk us through how the year's been?
Well, what's been fun is that I was able to, for Christmas, my Christmas display that I do at Christ the Good Shepherd, we were able to do that despite the pandemic. Turned out beautifully, had a lot of positive feedback on that. Our priest over there was very excited, was very insistent on making sure that I was able to keep that tradition going. So even with the pandemic, I was still able to do that, at least that one display. Right now, we just finished season 22. It took me about 2 months to build this year, which is a little on the long side. I had a couple delays on this one. Some of that was just due to improper planning on my part for use of parts. So I had to order some more parts midway through the build, which I'm not the first time this has happened, but still. It's like for Lent, this was a lesson in patience.
Lent always has those lessons.
Yeah.
Always. So you had to order those extra parts. You dealt with a sickness, and then you had some other sickness issues in your family. What have been some other things that the pandemic has posed for you?
I think the big part for me is I'm so used to wanting to be out in the public, to have the project out in a place where people can have a chance to see it. This is not something that I build just for myself. I build it for everyone. And to be able to have that chance to share. And that's been part of the challenge this particular year, particularly with trying to deal with Catholic media and stuff, it's definitely been when you're just a lone voice trying to make waves in endless sea, it can be a challenge at times. And trying to highlight the build itself, because the build is always part of the story with me, as you know. There's always a challenge in being able to present your talents to everyone.
Okay. So I know you've been on a few podcasts recently. You know, you're on with our friend Cesar at Growing Up Catholico, David at the Catholic Canuck. So check out those two podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Those were a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're great guys. They're fun to be on with. So how has the experience, the three of us, we're relatively small guys, but well, by any stretch of the imagination, but what's the experience been with media in general this year?
You know, it can be challenging at times. The podcasts that I've been able to record so far have been a lot of fun, and those were a lot of fun last year. It was able to help me to share the story of what I'm doing with the disability and stuff, and putting into focus the issues related to disability especially with those that are more invisible. I saw a post this morning from a Catholic who I admire for her stance on disability. Her screen name, Bubbly Catholic. I think you've seen her a few times on there. Mm-hmm. But she was talking about the fact that people don't necessarily think that she has a disability. I've run into that myself. I've had people tell me, well, John, you're not disabled. Yeah, I have challenges. Just because my disabilities are not as visible, or I have learned how to adapt to minimize their overall effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, for someone with my nature, I do quite well for myself, but that's because I've had to learn how to overcome a lot and learn how to adapt and change. And it's the same way with the project build every year. Every year, like with my health and stuff, you have to learn how to pinch hit. You may have a plan on how to do something, but then you have to figure out a better way to do it. And I think with anything within this pandemic, I've been learning how to do more of that, more of making minor course corrections. And that's part of the reason why I really do enjoy doing the programs and stuff, because you tap into a lot of audiences and they get to see something or learn about something they may not get to see otherwise.
Let's talk about the disability for a moment. What's the danger of people maybe having that attitude? Well, I can't see it, so it's not there. If you know what I'm getting at.
It's because you run into a judgmentality. People are passing judgments on you left and right. A lot of it is not always fair. They look at the person, they see the outside, but they don't realize all those internal struggles that we have. A case in point for me, because I'm a big guy, everyone just assumes that a lot of my walking issues are due to obesity. And to some extent, that's partially true, but that's not the full story. When you dive deeper, you realize that, number one, I have balance issues. I'm not always stable on my feet. And number two, I've taken some pretty severe falls over the last couple of years that have put a lot of stress on my joints. I can physically ride a trike. I can ride it for miles, but I don't have the balance anymore to ride a two-wheel bike. I would either break something or I would lose balance and fall, which has happened quite a few times. So, yeah, so there's this assumption that people make that may not always be accurate to what is actually going on.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely. I agree with you on that. I see that quite a bit myself. I guess subconsciously they don't mean to get that judgmentality. Like you say, they're trying to help, but in going to the extreme, do you think they're getting to that judgment part?
Yeah, I've seen it happen far too many times, especially during this pandemic, with me trying to go to stores and stuff. When I go shopping, I have to use a Amigo or a scooter. And when they don't have benches and stuff, that causes problems. Especially if someone has, and I'm not even looking so much at myself, but I'm looking at others who may be in a similar situation, and they may not be as willing to speak up for fear of reaction. There's a lot of fear in our hearts for those of us with disabilities sometimes. I certainly have experienced it, where you have this fear that you're going to be judged, you have this fear that you're going to be ridiculed, and especially when you don't like conflict in general. We sometimes feel that at least I know for myself, strictly speaking for myself, I know that I certainly have a fear of being constantly ridiculed. I'm a lot better at it than what I used to be. When I was younger, it'd be a totally different story. But as I've gotten older with more wisdom, I've certainly learned how to deal with that a lot better. But there may be others who may not be in that same place than I'm at.
Sure. So what can we do as a church or a society in general, even as individuals, to help those that maybe feel that way? How can we do that?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a one-size-fits-all policy on this. But I definitely feel that everything starts with attitude. If it's one thing that I've definitely learned throughout my recent experiences, is that attitude plays a major role in how we look at the world. We cannot afford to pass this strict judgment on someone based on our own narrow-minded views of what we think disability should be. And it's the same way going into the church. With someone coming into the church, they may not be wearing the fanciest of clothes, and yet they may have the deepest faith. Our lives are shaped by what goes on around us. And if we take the time to take someone where they are at, and we may not understand everything that they're dealing with. We don't have to. All we have to do is understand that those challenges that they face are critical to them. And that's the kind of mentality that I've been trying to go for moving forward. I can't expect everyone around me to understand what my balance issues are, what other my social issues. I can't expect everyone to understand that, nor should I try and have to explain it. All someone really needs to understand, though, at least from my perspective, is to understand that there are quirks that I have, and those quirks sometimes play havoc with me.
So how does this work on the pro-life side of things? I know you've been very vocal on that. That's why I want to cover it.
One of the biggest issues that I see within the pro-life movement is the minimal representation of disability. We have people that talk about disability. We have people that are encouraging pro-life regarding those with disability. But we don't hear a lot of the disability activists themselves. They're not given a voice. I've certainly seen a couple more that are starting to get more involved in that, and that's kind of great to see, but we shouldn't have the disability community as a separate camp from the main pro-life movement. We all have a goal in this together overall, but from my perspective, it would be nice to see more disability awareness advocates within the pro-life movement because of the fact that they're, to be rather blunt, sometimes it feels like we got targets on our backs, especially when you're talking with the pro-choicers. Some of them, well, if my child may have a disability, I'm going to go ahead and abort. Well, wait a minute here. I have a disability. My life is doing pretty good considering. And it jumps back down to that idea that just because you have a disability means that you're suffering greatly, when that is not necessarily the case. Do I have my challenges? Yeah. Are there days when I struggle? Certainly, but we all do. Mm-hmm. That the common denominator is that every single human at some point in their life is going to face with some kind of challenge. Whether or not that turns into a full-blown disability or not, that remains to be seen, but we all are struggling with something.
You said a moment ago, sometimes you feel like you have a target on your back. Is that because of the abortion side or of the euthanasia movement that seems to be taking root in more liberal societies?
Both, in some ways. I think that those with disabilities are under a lot more scrutiny. There have been moments within my own life in the last couple of years where I've had to overly justify my existence. I'm seeing stories right now where care has been denied to someone because of a disability, a severe disability, because the doctors didn't think that person had a quality of life, even though that person was fairly active in their community. And it's scary. It truly is scary. When you have that kind of mindset that those with disabilities don't have a life.
How has that changed over the years? Because it seems like it's getting, I guess it's gaining more steam, it seems. Is that your perspective too?
Yeah, I think things have changed a lot. I think the pandemic, if anything, has highlighted a lot of the flaws that are within our society, especially when it comes to disability. I think that it has shown a lot more the judgmentality of society in general, not just within the church, but within even the secular movements as well. I think that there is a push to minimize disability, to minimize what our challenges are. And that's kind of disheartening, because these are the things that we, as someone with a disability, in my case, malformed cerebral palsy, this is something I live with daily.
Right. So how about within the life of the church, how could we I mean, maybe can you give us some examples? Because like you said, you've been living this and you've done a great job evangelizing. How could we as a church help our disabled brothers and sisters with their vocations?
Well, once again, it's the mentality that we cannot take a one-size-fits-all approach to everything. We really do need to sit down with the person, figure out where their strengths are at, figure out what their limitations are, and go from there. Basically, kind of tailoring the program to fit their needs so that they can, so that the church can make the most out of their abilities. Certainly for me, like with the choir, that's one of my other side things I do is doing with the choir. And it's something I'm good at doing, something that people really enjoy me doing, being able to sing. And so there's a lot of open ministries which doesn't require a lot of mobility, mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily require a lot of focus. So there's always a place for someone within the church. We just have to be willing to find out where those are at, and we have to take the time and take the effort to invest in that, to make the churches feel more welcoming than some are. And some are doing a pretty good job. And then sometimes you hear horror stories from parishes of how a family with an autistic child was kicked out or something. That's disheartening. That should not be happening in our churches.
Right. Most definitely. Everyone has a gift, and the church can be used. The church needs the gift. So if you're listening, you have a gift. You have a gift that could help with evangelization, with ministry in the church. And John, you've been doing this project for 22 years. How did you first find out about this gift that you had of building churches with Legos, and not just little churches, like ones that take up a 30-year living room type church?
Oh yeah, yep. If you were to see the photos of me and Father Jose from All Saints in Bay City, you from season 20 that I've shared a couple times. In fact, I may throw that one back up on Twitter later. You realize that number one, I don't build small buildings.
Right.
What it kind of turned into really was when I started doing my Christmas display at Christ the Good Shepherd back season 4. Which would have been December 2003, a lot of things kind of started moving into the direction of, wow, this is turning from a childhood hobby, from something from when I was a kid, I was building these rudimentary buildings that were turning into churches. It turned into something far bigger than I could have ever expected. I had no idea that God was going to take my love of the church, my love of building with Legos, and turn it into what it is now. And it's kind of impressive, but it's also humbling to know that God is using my talents, in this very creative way. And that's kind of where it came from, where I developed that personal message that no matter what challenge or disability you face, God can still use your talents. And part of the driving force behind that is because that's what I'm doing. I live that message every time I get to talk about my work. Every time I get to explain, well, this is the challenge that I face, but this is how God is using my talents. So there's always that internal passion that I have. And there's a deep love, especially with the internet. I mean, back when the early days, we used to have these, before photo hosting became more common, there were these small independent groups that were allowing photos to be hosted. And that's when I started doing sharing the seasons online. And it wasn't until I got the Facebook page back in 2011, hard to think.
10 years, wow.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of crazy, but I never thought about doing the build photos. I just thought about doing the finished projects and share those. But people wanted to start seeing what went into it. And that's kind of how that part took off. So it really kind of expanded my ministry overall to be able to utilize social media at a time when not many people were doing that.
So did you start this in the MySpace era, or was it always Facebook?
Actually, before the era of MySpace, a small company, which I think is still around, called Brickshelf.
Okay.
They were a small Lego photo gallery. And then I ended up going on to Google Pictures for a while. That's because Brickshelf was almost folded, and we almost lost all our photos. And so I had to spend a frantic time backing up all my photos, make sure I had those. But then when Facebook started opening up their pages, I started taking advantage of that at the insistence of several of my friends and over the course of a weekend. And eventually, I slowly started to migrate all the photos that I had from various locations into one source. So that's why I've got all the galleries now on Facebook and always continuously updating the photos from the current projects. In fact, I probably, one gallery alone, I've got like almost 1,000 photos.
Oh, my gosh.
combination of both build and display. And within the last couple of years, I've separated those galleries out. So now that I've got the build photos with a couple of the finished shots, and then some of the better shots go over into the display portion of the gallery, it makes things a lot easier. But in terms of computer space, everything's just lumped together.
Now, you said a moment ago how displaying your work can lead to some conversations about how God is using you and all that. Can you give us an example of a conversation that you had?
Oh, you're going to make me think this morning.
I try, man.
I've had conversations with different people, including priests, regarding a lot of the beauty that our churches have lost.
Okay.
And some of the people are realizing that part of the focus of my work, one of the side avenues I've gone with this, is to try and bring back a sense of beauty that we have lost and try and encourage that we would start to return our churches to this kind of like this blend of what is respectful to the Mass, but still reclaims a lot of that artistic vision that we've lost over the years. And it's not about going out of your way, hog wild with expense accounts and stuff like that. Even just simple things. I'm not a traditionalist by any stretch of the imagination, but within the last couple of years, I've really become an enemy of carpet in churches.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but no, it's like there's a lot of beautiful floors and stuff that are covered up. Why would you do that? I've been to a couple of parishes, which I'm not going to name names, but the carpet was just in such tattered shape, and it's a really disappointment. And there seems to be a slowly growing trend that I've noticed of parishes that are trying to reclaim some of their beauty. I know that there may be renovations coming to one of the parishes in our diocese, which I'm looking forward to seeing. Apparently they found out that there's a stained glass window behind the altar that is still relatively intact. So I've heard that they may be doing some renovations to restore that and bring that back. It would be nice to see that beauty come back. You get a lot of discussions about that. You get a lot of discussions about how important it is regarding disability to take people where they're at. I've had conversations with parents whose child may have an issue. And so my work in a lot of ways does bring hope about, number one, people love it. They really enjoy what comes from it, but they also understand that there's a heart and that there's a passion behind it as well. You can't do something like this year after year without having a passion. And that's where a lot of the desire from sharing my work comes from, whether I'm doing podcasts or going up on Facebook. There's just that deep desire that something like this should not be hidden away. I don't do this for myself. I do this for the glory of God. And God has been kind enough to give me avenues that I otherwise would not have.
Well, there's no doubt you definitely love it. I mean, it's been 22 years. So what are some of the challenges you have with maybe getting somewhere to display it and then transporting it even?
Well, number one, you have to find a parish that is interested. There has to be an interest there to be able to bring me out.
So how do you build that interest? Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no problem. It can be tricky. Sometimes you reach out. I found I can reach out to someone within the parish who is a fan of my work. They in turn can talk to the right people that I otherwise would not. I do have a hard time asking people. I have a hard time asking podcasts. Self-promotion is not, well, I take that back. I was going to say that I'm not good at self-promoting, yet I've done a lot of it over the years and trying to strike that balance. But the same way of trying to do displays, you're trying to self-promote. You're trying to let people know that you exist and let them know that you have a talent that you'd like to share. Some parishes are very receptive. Some, unfortunately, are not. That is just the nature of things. Some of my best displays are the ones where the parish is totally on board with what you're doing. And I have found that when you have a parish that is completely on board, they will find a way for the transportation issues and everything else to fall into place. Particularly within the Diocese of Saginaw, because I'm so centrally located geographically to a lot of the parishes in the area, it would not be that hard for me to, number one, get the project out there, but also I'm within a short distance that someone from a parish could easily pick me up. I'm fairly flexible on that. From my time with amateur radio, waiting for different people to be available to bring me home and stuff, it's like you learn a level of patience. It's like when I was doing the St. John the 23rd display over in Hemlock and Merrill, my contact person was the organist. So, and he brought me out. He helped me move the project. And it's like, okay, it's like, I got to sit here for a few minutes. Okay, that's fine. So you learn patience. And I think that's just the joy of it. For me, being able to visit a parish, especially places that I don't always get to go to otherwise, you get to interact with the community. You get to see how those parishes do things. You learn, you study, and it's always a blessing for me. I love visiting parishes, and last year not being able to go anywhere really, really put a damper on things, unfortunately. We're still, in terms of displays this year, I've got the Christmas display for sure as well. We're possibly looking out, coordinating to try and see if we can possibly do a display up in Bay City, Michigan again this year. Did not get to go last year because of the churches and stuff, but we're working on the details possibly. It's still up in the air, but if it's able to work out, we're going to try and do it. I can also bring the project outside on a decent day in Michigan and do an outdoor display if there's enough interest for people who want to come out and see this in person, and that's been part of the challenge. Is generating that interest to see this in person, because the pictures I have don't do this justice.
Yeah, definitely. So why do you think there's some parishes that may not have any interest? Have they given you any reasons? Or
they may not fully understand what it is that I'm doing or why I'm doing it.
Okay.
I had a situation many years ago when I was doing a holiday bazaar at another parish in the diocese. And the gentleman asked me, well, why are you doing this? You're not selling anything. Why are you doing this? And that's when I explained to him what my mission was with the disability awareness. And he got it. So there's that great disconnect between what I'm doing and the reasons behind it. One of the goals that I've had for this past year is to try and expand the ministry as much as I can. I'm not affiliated with any major group officially, and that kind of makes things a little more complex because you don't always have the connections that you want to be able to take the project, and that's necessarily in a physical sense, but in a general sense of where you want to go with your ministry. One of the greater challenges that I've had, and you have to be careful with that because that can lead to a bitterness and frustration that can kind of derail you in the long run. And I've really been trying to avoid that particular pitfall. Recently, someone tried to get the attention of a well-known Catholic priest who did not respond. Busy guy. I understand that. But you have to be careful because there's always that bitterness. You always think that there's this inner jealousy. And that's something you really have to spend time in prayer about to see where the Lord's going to take you. There may be other opportunities that are available, but you have to be open to the Holy Spirit in order for that to happen.
Have you ever made a display? My son asked this question, by the way, my 7-year-old who loves the documentaries. His question was, did a church ever want to keep your display?
I have actually expanded. This actually did happen. Season 20, All Saints Parish Display, was originally supposed to be just a two-weekend run, one weekend at site number one, one weekend at site number two, and then ended up staying there an extra weekend at site number two just because of a lot of logistics that were going on. Plus, they really loved it over there, so they wanted to see it. And that's something that I'm open with, too. If there's a parish, if we're committed to at least doing a one- or two-weekend run, if they want to keep an extra weekend, that's usually not that big of a deal. Especially if they want to get more people in, or like with the schools and stuff, they want to do more displays with it. Yeah, I'm always totally open to that idea. At least with Christ the Good Shepherd, I'm usually there for like the entire most of Advent and all of Christmas season. And then when I bring it back, I start tearing it down. And season 21, by the way, took almost 3 days to do.
So any bloopers that you could remember that, like building or transportation, how it just like, I don't know, came apart or whatever?
Too many to count. Oh, man. The biggest blooper is I was over at a parish here in town, first time display. They brought the project back, and the one bell tower, it was on season 20, one of the bell towers was completely smashed. And it's like they're freaking out. The husband and wife are literally shaking in their shoes. It's like, okay, it's like, let's check the back of your car. I just want to make sure I got all the parts. Okay, let's set it in. A half hour later, I sent her a photo via email. Fixed it. There was 1 year coming back from Hemlock and Merrill. The project got damaged on the way back because it fell off the board a little bit. And that was another 40-minute fix, maybe, if that. Stuff like that happens. that can't be avoided. I've had issues where season 16, I'm working on the project, got everything nice and going up. There's been a consistent issue with some of the windows, so I swap out parts. It's like, wait a minute, why is there this bump in the side of the top of the project? I'm getting ready to do roof face. Tear everything down to that section. Discover that one of the support columns had lifted up and it attached itself to one of the floor plates. We're talking like a very micro amount there, just enough to throw things off. I had a similar situation happen in a couple years later for one of the project builds. I'm building the columns, getting ready to attach the grid. Something's not lining up right. Is the board warped? So I checked each column, and sure enough, one of the columns had a plate attached to it. Just enough to throw things off. So yeah, it's like stuff like that happens. I've had, talk about major blooper. I'm going to St. Anastasia Parish in Troy, Michigan with, I believe it was season 8, which was the last of the main dome roofs that I did. I'm driving along on this long curve, and this is before I screwed the project to the board, so everything was free-floating. I thought there was enough weight to keep it on the board. I'm hitting a steep curve. Nope. I hear the project is sliding. I pull off to the first parking lot I can and discover the project's almost halfway off the board.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So, bloopers do happen. It's like, I've also had times where kids have pushed in windows and the host of the location is like kind of like freaking out. It's like, no, I'm not. That's why I use those kind of windows in there, because if kids get a little overzealous, they push in something, it's a relatively easy fix. Oh, good story for you for bloopers. I just remembered this one. I had come over for a weekend from a display, All Saints actually, and I found these pieces that I couldn't figure out where did they come from. Where are they at? They're not part of the main wall. So I'm looking inside. Some kid had managed to reach his hand all the way into the entryway where the baptismal font was at. And it actually managed to pull some pieces off baptismal font, a spot that I could not even reach. It's like, and I'm just sitting there laughing at the kids' creative ingenuity.
Kids and Legos, man. Stuff's gonna happen. Like, you can't have kids and Legos in one room and not expect stuff to happen.
You know, when I was younger, I'd probably be a lot more offended at that. But you know what? As I've gotten older, I've really kind of mellowed out and just kind of take things where things are at. I'm too much of a perfectionist when it comes to the project.
So, John, where can people get a hold of you and check out your project?
They can check me out on Twitter under KC8WZM. They can also check out the Lego Church Project Facebook page. I have photos of all 22 seasons on there. That is probably the best place to go to get the most up-to-date information. I'll be, as opportunities open up, I will be posting that information on the Facebook page when the chances arise, and continue to pray for opportunities this year. Things are slowly starting to get back to some kind of normal, but we still have a long way to go yet. And so there's a lot of prayer involved in that.
Great. Well, John, thanks for coming on with me and talk about disability, your project. It's always fun talking with you. And everyone, check out his Facebook page.
Thanks for having me, man. Greatly appreciate it.
And my pleasure. God bless.
God bless.